Shalom to everybody. Really interesting topic and innovative idea of Rav Kook tonight. We are continuing, just about finishing off the story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And remember, he's been in the cave for 13 years, learning Torah with his son, learning Kabbalah, and then they leave the cave. And during those 13 years, he was covered up to his neck in sand, because they wanted to save their clothes just for the time that they were davening. And after 13 years in sand, they had serious skin problems. So when they were healed, so they wanted to learn from Yaakov Avinu. We spoke last time that Yaakov Avinu is the source for making a kiddush. When you want to celebrate something, you want to share it with your friends, share it with the community. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai also wants to learn something from Yaakov Avinu. Remember last time we said that when Jacob came back to the land of Israel after wrestling with Lavan, wrestling with Esav, wrestling with the angel of Esav, and he comes to the city of Shechem, Shalem, total, and Yaakov Avinu, it says there, he built a bathhouse for the people of Shechem, and others say that he minted a new coin. And others say that he built a new marketplace. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, I want to do something also to thank God for saving me from the Romans, from my problems with my skin. And that's where we're up to. So let's open up the share screen. By the way, for those who have the source sheet, which I sent a little earlier, are going to be missing some of the sources. So even if you like following in the page that you printed, every now and then it's good to look here at the share screen. Okay, so the Gemara says...
Before you start, can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
I think I missed something. How did his skin disease disappear?
He went to a doctor. And he went to the Chamei Tveria. He went to the hot baths in Tveria. And like my mother-in-law also used to go there, she said it does wonders for your health. So that's where he was hiding out, not far from there. Okay. So the Gemara reads as follows. Amarle, Ika milta debay letikune. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, is there anything here that I can fix? Just like Yaakov Avinu minted a new coin, built new bathhouses, what can I do to thank God and share my simcha with the community? Amrule, they answered him, Ika duchta de'it be safek tuma. There are certain places here where there's a safek, there's a doubt whether they are tame or not, whether dead people were buried there or not. And it's difficult for the Kohanim to have to go around these places. Now, if a dead person is definitely buried there, Mela, right? They have no choice. But there are certain places which maybe somebody was buried there, maybe not. And maybe Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, with his Ruach HaKodesh, with his godly spirit, he can find out whether this place is pure and the Kohanim can walk the shortcut, or whether they have to take the roundabout way because somebody is actually buried there. By the way, in the city of Tveria today, I understand from our regular participant, Raveli Kaspi, that there are certain intercity roads which are problems for Kohanim to travel because they are built upon old cemeteries of so that there is a problem of tuma. And so even to this day, by the way, anybody who follows Israeli politics knows that this is mamash a very practical issue. I don't know if anybody thought about it, but Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be Arzot HaChaim. That's one of the nicknames of the land of Israel. It's the land of the living. And thank God that we are now back after 2,000 years of exile, and we are here forever. And we're not going anywhere. There's not going to be another exile. Rabbis tell us explicitly, once we're back in Israel for the third time, there's not going to be another exile. The first return was from Egypt. The second return was from Babylon in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah to build the second Beit HaMikdash. And then the Romans exiled us, and the Chazal tell us that when we return for the third time, that's it. Which means we have to start worrying about where we are going to bury our dead. Because if we are, for the next million years, going to be burying dead people, we're not going to have places to live. We're not going to have places where Kohanim can travel. And Matan Kahana, you know, I don't want to get into this Naftali Bennett's government, which are some things which are very questionable. But one of the good things that they're talking about is developing what's already done in Yerushalayim, in the area where my sister, Zichrona Livracha, is buried on Har Menuchot. They already have, it's like an apartment house, where they have 4 or 5 stories, and afterwards there will be 10 stories, and after 20 and 30, and you can just keep going up today. You know, you have buildings 120 stories high, and in another 100 years, we'll have buildings 200 stories tall, and that is because we have to make sure that the land of Israel stays pure and it stays holy and that there's no problem for Kohanim. So that's just
parents. I don't want to go into it, but there are people that don't like that Shita and they don't want to be buried in that way.
Yeah, that I know that it's more of a psychological problem rather than a halachic problem. Even the issue, what they're talking about, is reviving the original way of burial. But let's get back to our topic. So again, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai wants to donate some time, some effort to Am Yisrael to thank God for his salvation. And he asks, what can I do? And they say, well, there are these certain places which are in doubt, and maybe somebody holy like you can settle the doubt. Rav Kook, let's see here, he is at his creative best. In his commentary in Enaya, that which we are studying every week, Hasfekot, source number 2, Hasfekot hen nimnim bichlal hashpa'otea shel haTorah. Among the types of influence that the Torah has, among the type of influence that the Torah has is the issue of sfeikot, of doubt. In other words, we like doubt. Anybody who's opened any page in the Talmud knows that it's based on doubt. There's a Jewish tradition. I know in America, a lot of people save the child's first shoe or the child's first lock of hair from his first haircut. People remember that from the States. And but Jewish tradition is to remember a child's first kasha. And I've mentioned it here in the past, but I'm so proud of it, so I'll mention it again. Our son Netanel, when he was maybe 4 years old, he was sitting on the table in the kitchen. And I told him, you're not supposed to sit on a table that we eat. So he asked, why not? So a little four-year-old is not going to understand. So I just tell him what the Gemara answers, because the table that we eat is like a mizbeach, is like the altar. And my four-year-old son asks his first kasha, and he says, so what's the problem with sitting on the table? Even if it's like an altar, the Kohanim walk on the mizbeach. So why can't I sit on the table? And it blew me away, and I called my parents, and I told all my friends, my little four-year-old is starting to ask questions. So we're not afraid of questions. And as a matter of fact, that's the first point here, when a person has doubts and he needs to clarify something, this is one of the ways that we learn Torah. Hem gamkin aruchim b'cheshbon. But, and this is an important but, the number and type of doubts are figured out by God. How many doubts should there be, and how many doubts should there not be? Because there's also a problem with having doubts. We all know that people who doubt whether there is a God or doubt whether the Torah is true can very easily get to leaving the way of the Torah. There's an interesting bakor. I brought it for you in source number 3 on your sheets. It might be number 4 from Mishle. There's a famous quote. A lot of people don't know where it originally comes from, but this is from what I found, the original. There's a pasuk in Mishle, Perek Tedvav, pasuk Lamed. Me'or einayim yismach lev, shmua tova tidashen etzem. When a person is enlightened, his eyes see the light, that makes him happy. And when he hears a good shmua, a good teaching, a good sentence, tidashen etzem, that makes his bones grow that much more. And on this pasuk, the classic commentary, Metzudat David, says, "Hey arat." What does it mean, "mo'orei naim"? To lighten a person's eyes, bidavar hamisupak. When a person learns the answer to something that he had a doubt about, yismach lev, he will be very happy. Ki ein ba'olam simcha ke'atarat hasfekot. This is the source of the famous saying that there is nothing as happy as finding the answer to your question. And if so, doubts are good because they enable us to find the truth. And this is something that new questions and new answers, that is what we have been doing in the Beit Midrash and in the Halachic Responsa for the last 1,000 years, right? When there's a new invention, whether it be the microwave, the car, artificial insemination, there are a lot of new halachic questions that are asked, which inevitably help us to clarify the answers. So new Torah comes as a direct correlation with doubts, with questions. And as we've discussed in the past, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook used to say, regarding the Catholics, who, if you want to be a priest, you have to take an oath of chastity, poverty, and obedience. Rav Tzvi Yehuda used to say that only a religion that doesn't have answers is afraid of questions. We in Am Yisrael like questions. We encourage questions. We learned together several years ago. There aren't that many people tonight who are from the original group, but maybe let's just see it inside in the source sheet in from Orot HaKodesh in source number 5, Erech HaNigudim.
Excuse me, one more time. Is the share being recorded?
Yeah.
Good, someone wants recording. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Erech HaNigudim. Kol HaNigudim HaNimtzaim BaDeyot. What's the topic here? The heading is the value of contradictions. The value of machloket. That even though the obvious question is, maybe I should have mentioned this before, if the Torah is so true, why are there so many different opinions? If there is one godly truth, why does Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, why are they always disagreeing? And Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua always disagreeing. And Rav and Abba, anybody who's anybody in the Talmud has somebody who's always disagreeing with him. And in addition, the question is, why didn't God make the Torah more clear? He could have made it a lot more clear, because there are so many questions, and we have to read in between the lines of the Torah. And as soon as you have to read in between the lines, so I understand one way, you understand the other way. And it's two sides of the same question. Another question is, it cannot be a coincidence that there are so many different opinions. And the truth is, now, and we've spoken about this, now that we don't have a Sanhedrin, so we can't sit around and vote and decide and have a clear-cut decision, so that is really a tragedy. For the last 2,000 years, we haven't had the Sanhedrin. And the next stage of redemption is to revive the Sanhedrin. But nevertheless, even in the Sanhedrin, they used to argue things out for a long time. And what Rav Kook is saying here is that arguing and doubts, there's a famous saying that I put in the heading here, doubt is the key to knowledge. And anybody who has children or grandchildren knows that kids are always asking, why this, why that, why is the sky blue, why are trees green, who made this, who made that? And that is exactly the key to knowledge. So questioning is good. Arguing is good. It helps us clarify the truth. Nevertheless, there's a problem. Because, like we said before, too many sfeikot are not good. And we lose some people during the arguing. In Rav Kook, maybe we'll just do it orally, in Rav Kook's source 5, in the Erech HaNigudim, he says that the different opinions are like saplings, where when you plant a tree, I remember when we planted the trees in the back of our house, Arle Antman told me that you have to plant them at least 3 meters away from each other, which seems like a big waste of territory. But you need that distance in order to let each tree develop properly so that they don't steal vitamins, minerals from each other, they don't steal water from each other, that they don't shadow each other. And then little by little, each one of the opinions grows until they meet at the top. And as we see from airplanes, it looks like one large green carpet. So that is the advantage of doubt, of questions, of difference of opinions. But Rav Kook is saying that they are aruchim, back to source number one, they are aruchim b'cheshbon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides how much machloket is good and what is bad. U'mashlimim et mashe ra'ui lehem la'ashlim. Right? It's good that these doubts help us clarify that which they are meant to help clarify. Omnam klalut ha-tzorech la-shlamat ha-pu'ulot ha-yotzot u-mitrabot al-yedei ha-sfeikot, im she'm marbim et esek ha-Torah. Like we said, all of these doubts, and parenthetically, you see where Rav Kook is going, that he's talking about the doubts that are around, that the people are asking Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai to solve the doubts, to solve the question marks. Is there somebody buried here or not? So what Rav Kook is saying is that the doubts have that positive aspect. And on the other hand, too many doubts is not good. He marbim esek ha-Torah, va-Torah va-askanut be-atzmo hu notenet peryo likadesh ula-aden. Part of the beauty, a lot of times people, when they come to a yeshiva, and they know in the yeshiva world, most of the time is spent not learning philosophy, not learning Tanakh, but studying Gemara, Be'iyun, and asking questions, and Rambam disagreeing with Rashi, who disagrees with Tosfot, and everyone's disagreeing. And the Ariz Hatzal says that this is, in Kabbalah, it's called the concept of Lifatzeach et ha-egozim. Nuts, hard nuts, have to be cracked open. And the best way, especially people who are cynical, the best way to crack their cynicism is through learning the Gemara. Encourage them to ask questions. Encourage them to doubt. And that's what happens in the yeshiva. And again, to a certain extent, doubting is the key to knowledge, and it's good. This is just another example. Let's see it inside in source 4. We've mentioned this, Baal Peh. Rav Tzvi the Kook worded his father's teaching very nicely. U'bidieved im hitgalut mamashuta, as an idea, as a scenario develops, that bidieved scenario, huchach v'nitbarer shemilechatchila haita tova u'nechona. All right, God runs the world, and even when there is a corona, or there is a tragedy, or somebody is sick, or there's something goes wrong, or somebody's fired from their job, when something looks bad, it's just a matter of time, maybe even just in the world to come, that we understand that it was all for the good. That man's bidieved is the lichatchila of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that what seems to us to be problematic, that is part of the plan. So the problem, the bidyevit of having doubts, until now we've said, that's part of the plan. It's good to have doubts. It's good to have questions. It helps us clarify the new questions. On the other hand, and this is the big umnam, right? We said in the past, umnam is nevertheless. Rav Kook is going to see the other side of the coin. All right, if we saw before that in simcha katarata sfekot, that there is nothing as happy as solving doubts, that means that the goal is to solve the doubts. And the doubt is just a means. And usually,
if you don't have the doubt, you can't solve the doubt.
Oh, so that is the point that we're going to get to. That sometimes it really would be better without having so many doubts. Because doubting, again, brings us to lose people along the way. And some people never solve their doubts. Some people leave the yeshiva before they find answers to their questions. Mm-hmm. And let's hear Rav Kook put it in his words. Omnam. Hem einam nitzrachim ki im lefi oto ha'erech she'orayel yonan nechseret. The amount of doubts which is good is only according to the amount of truth which is lacking. And we don't want truth to be lacking. In other words, doubts are not an ideal. She'az tzrichim la'ashlim al yedei hitaskut yetera, she'mishtal shelet uva al yedei ha'torach ha'mitraba al yedei ha'sfekot. Hooray, when we have doubts, it takes a lot of time and effort and blood, sweat, and tears until we solve those doubts. And so this is the downside. Not only that, if we're talking till now, the upside of machloket and disagreeing, what's the downside? Well, the Hasidim and Misnagdim, they were at each other's throats for 150 years. And the Zionists are against the anti-Zionists, and vice versa. And the Hasidim, the Satmar can't stand Lubavitch, Lubavitch can't stand Satmar, everybody can't stand each other. And this is a direct outcome of too much machloket. Not only that, part of doubts is, especially today, in the last 2,000 years that we don't have a Sanhedrin, is, so what do you do when you're in doubt? A lot of people are machmir. They take the more stringent opinion, and the Torah becomes more and more difficult, and less livable. And Rav Kook writes in Afikim Banegev, one of the reasons why it's so important to revive the Sanhedrin is because religion is getting, the chumrot are getting out of hand. And people are making Judaism more and more difficult. And in the words of Rav Ovadia Yosef, if we're in a generation that people have left Torah and we want to bring them back, we have to make the Torah as doable, as livable, as easy as possible for all those balei tshuva who want to do tshuva. Shelo tina'al delet bifnei balei tshuva. That's a concept in halacha. Don't slam the door in the face of somebody who wants to do tshuva. And this, Rav Kook says, is the Torah. A lot of people do not succeed in learning Gemara. Chazal tell us, out of every 1,000 people that come to learn Talmud, one succeeds. Anybody who's learned Talmud in elementary school, or in high school, or even in Yeshiva Gvoha, knows that most people don't manage. And instead of cracking the hard shells, they themselves sometimes get broken. And this is the Torah that's involved. What is the Torah? What is the Gemara talking about? That the Kohanim have the Torah. They have to work hard to take the long way around. And it would be better if somebody like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai could solve the doubts. Is there a dead person here or not? Is this place Tameh or not? Because too much Tircha, too many doubts, too many Sfeikot, too many Chumrot is not good. Too many questions, you might leave the Derech, leave Torah. Aval b'makom she'aorah mavheket biyoter, Zohar, Zohar Torah Temet, V'dat Elokim ba'or noka. But where the light of the Torah is shining with all of its light. Here Rav Kook is referring to the Zohar, which Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that's, according to tradition, what he learned in the cave. And this Mr. Zohar, Mr. Shining Light, he can shed light in a way to get rid of the sfeikot, to get rid of the doubts, lichatchila, and sorech lecheshkata sfeikot. When the Torah is clear enough, there's no need for the darkness of doubt. Leman al yadam yetzei ezaor noga hameir betoch hachoshech. You have to remember, the Hasidic masters, I've seen this in tens of different places, point out, Purim time, that Amalek equals Safek in Gematria. Now, Gematria is not just a play of numbers. The rabbis are trying to teach us that Amalek, the evil in the world, is a direct outcome of doubts. Havadai shmo ken tilato, we're going to say on Rosh Hashanah, you remember the V'chol Ma'aminim. Havadai shmo ken tilato, the greatness of God is seen in his clarity. To say, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook used to say all the time, I know this from my Rebbeim, that they always used to say in his name, Tzrichim lagid varim burim. Especially in our generation, there's so much, how much more so today, over the last couple of decades, with postmodernism, there are too many doubts. Everybody says there's no truth, there's fake news, how do we know what's true? How do I know there's a God? How do I know religion? How do I know the 13 principles of faith are true? There's too many doubts. And we, today, we have to relate to the downside of the doubts, which is Amalek. Safek equals Amalek. And Eina Simcha Katarat Asfekot. Let's see the Sfat Emet, Tafkets on Parshat HaShavua, where he relates to this issue in source number 7. Smichat mitzvat bikurim. The beginning of Parshat Ki Tavo begins with the mitzvah of the bikurim, bringing the first fruits to the Beit HaMikdash. And the Sfat Emet is asking, why at the end of Parshat Ki Tetzé, what we just read, the end is the story of Amalek. What is the contrast between Amalek, that evil people that we have to fight and destroy till the end, and Bikurim? He explains, Smichut mitzvah Bikurim lemichiyat Amalek, ki chol milchemet Amalek sherotze lahapil krirut be'ish Yisrael. The whole war of Amalek is asher korcha baderech. That, Chazal ar doresh, what does it mean, korcha? They cooled us off. The Jewish people were like a hot bathtub, and nobody, after the splitting of the Red Sea, the drowning of the Egyptians, Sichon conquering Og Melech HaBashan, nobody wanted to fight us. And then comes Amalek, and with their chutzpah, they fight the Jewish people. And even though they got burned, when a person jumps into the bathtub, even though he gets burned, he cools it off for the other people. And that is from Asher Korcha Baderech. Amalek cools down our enthusiasm. Safek, again, Gematria of Amalek is Safek. How do you know that there is a God? How do you know the Torah is true? These feikot, these doubts, we have to fight. That is the all-out war against Amalek. Sherotze lapil krirut be'ish Yisrael. Liyot mudba beteva uvemikreh. Asher korcha also means the Amalek cooled down the Jewish people, and also it's from the word mikre. It's just a coincidence. God doesn't run the world. Doubts. These are the doubts of Amalek. She bechinat zanav. This is the tale which Amalek, instead of fighting us head on, dealing head on with the issues, he caught us from the back with doubts. Aval bnei Yisrael tzichim liot tamid vekin berosh velo lezanav. In honor of Rosh Hashanah, we have all these simanim, all these foods like the head of the fish or of the sheep. We put it on the table in Rosh Hashanah that we should be the head and not the zanav. The bikurim are the head. That is the beginning. Thank God for what you have. Just look clearly. Thank God for your family. Thank God for your house. Thank God for your car. Thank God for everything. Just look clearly. That is what Bikurim is about. To look straight ahead and see God and see the kindness and see Emunah in the world. And that is the opposite of Amalek, and that's why the two stories, the two mitzvot, are put together. To fight against the safek, fight against doubts, and go head on, look straight, and not to look for problems in the tail. Not to cool off. Not to say that something is a coincidence. Again, kar, mikre, zanav, all the Hasidic masters go in this direction regarding Amalek. Rav Kook says this so beautifully in the next paragraph. When I was looking today, when I was preparing the source sheet, and I was looking for the exact source where Rav Kook says it today on the computer, that's the quickest way of finding things, I saw somebody, he was just blown away with the following sentence, with this idea that we're learning today. Let's see it in source number 8, where Rav Kook writes in Orot HaKodesh, Tzlalei Hasfekot, the shadows of doubt. Again, this is the downside of doubting too much, of questioning too much. Tzlalei Hasfekot mitpashtim, lefi, how much do the shadows of doubt spread? Lefi otam mida she'aura elohit einat fusa bepnimiyut mahut ha'chaim. To the extent that we have the light of emunah in our souls, in our minds, we don't. The light of faith, of belief in God, that clarity does not leave room for the shadows of doubt. Hare, life is full of fears. Life is full of what if? What if I apply for a new job? What if we move to a new place? What if I marry this guy? What if we start this new project? And the same thing on national issues. What if we try and bring the Mashiach? Sfeikot, doubts. Is Zionism right or is it not right? There was a machloket. So a lot of people, as a matter of fact, most Jews in Europe, how did they deal with the doubts? They just said, Sheva al ta'ase adif. We don't know. And there were a handful of people, Davka, most of them non-religious, who just got up and did it. That's emunah. If you believe in Am Yisrael, and you believe that we deserve the land of Israel, and that it belongs to us, and how much more so if you believe in God, you should have a clarity that it's going to work. Don't be scared, because you know what? If you try something and it's not meant to be, it's not going to succeed. That's what emunah is about. God runs the world. And if you want to try a new project, and yes, you have your doubts, that's the safek, that's Amalek, try it, give it your best try, and be'ezrat Hashem, God will help make you a shliach to succeed. But the way of emunah is self-confidence. In the words of, I think it's Natan Alterman, you know, Naomi Shemer, she has the famous song based on Alterman's song. She has, where is Rabbi Akiva? Where is the Bar Kokhba rebellion? Where are the Maccabees? Why don't we have Maccabees today? And Rabbi Akiva answered, Ata hu a Maccabee. If you will be a Maccabee, we will have Maccabees. If you bring the redemption and go back to the land of Israel and revive the desert and revive the language and revive the Jewish army and revive the state of Israel, if you do it, there's a good chance that God is going to help you succeed. And that's what emunah is about. Rav Kook came out very strongly against the people who don't believe in God, who don't believe in Geula, who don't believe in trying because they have these sfeikot. Maybe we're right, maybe we're wrong, maybe it'll work, maybe this is the Geula, maybe Zionism is right, maybe Zionism is wrong, maybe we should wait for Mashiach, maybe we should bring Mashiach. All of these doubts is a result of not having enough light of emunah in our soul. You be a Maccabee, You be godly. You be God's shliach and have emunah that it's going to work. And you can solve that way, solve a lot of the doubts. Okay, we're running out of time. Getting back to source number one. So again, what is Rav Kook saying? He's saying, yes, doubts and questions and machloket, difference of opinion, is good to a certain extent. But like with everything, too much is problematic. It's the key to confusion. Paragraph Gimel. Bichud haru'uyim miyad litromem me'alo tal tzorech hanidrash lashpa'at hasfekot v'atipul behem. People like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who can rise above the machloket and zero in straight to the truth. By the way, this is also the Kohanim that we're talking about. The Kohanim have the Urim v'Tumim, you remember, the breastplate, where they can ask questions of God, get direct answers, and solve the sfeikot, and solve the doubts without having to argue, without having that problematic, the shadows of doubts. Hema nigashim el Hashem le'anot me'or chesed elyon ko'anei Hashem v'dorshei shmo. Shortcuts are better. In other words, if we, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, can purify the doubts, can tell us, is there a dead person here or not? That's good for everyone. Because the Kohanim, they want to go straight to where they want to go. Why should they have to go all the way around? Similarly, just like in learning, why should we have to go through all these doubts, and machlokot, and lose people on the way, and people don't understand the Talmud? And if we can go straight to the point, that's even better. That's lechatchila. So whenever there's machloket, we understand it's also for the good. The b'dievet of man is the lechatchila of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But don't make an ideal out of doubts. Because if somebody, you know, let's just take corona, take the chisun, the vaccinations. Yeah, of course it's a new vaccine, and of course it's been tested, but it hasn't been tested like the polio vaccine. So some people have doubts, and unfortunately all the time, just about every day you hear about people who died because they didn't want to take the vaccine, because they had doubts. Rav Kook is telling us, Havadai shmo kentilato. Somebody who has emunah, and God gave the doctors the wisdom to find these vaccines, use it. Don't start looking for the zanav. Don't start looking for the tail. Deal with issues head on, like the bikurim, like the new year, with emunah, with light. Don't make the shadows of darkness, don't let them drive you crazy. Ushnei yamim tovim shel galuyot. Here, Rav Kook is giving a class, just like when you think, okay, I understood. Rav Kook comes with a new chidush. What about Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galut? 2 days of Yom Tov. There are some people, all the people in Chutz Laretz, celebrate 2 days. Why? Because of the doubt, they are not sure whether the first day of Rosh Chodesh is Rosh Chodesh, or whether it's 2 days, and the previous day was the last day of the previous month, right? That we all know. That's why we have in Chutz La'aretz 2 days of each holiday. Why? Because of the doubt. And I know, I've heard people who say that they like this idea of having two seders, and they like the idea of having 2 days of Pesach. The rabbis tell us that this doubt is b'dieved. It is not good. Ushnei yamim tovim shel galio, the classic example of doubt. Uchiyotze bezeh, or other similar examples, hema chukim lo tovim. The Talmud Yerushalmi, we don't have time to see, in source number 9, says that doing 2 days of Yom Tov is a punishment for those who were exiled from the land of Israel, and they need 2 days to get to that level of happiness that here in Israel, it's enough to have 1 day. And the second day of Yom Tov, which stems from the doubt, is this Rosh Chodesh? Is tomorrow Rosh Chodesh? Was yesterday Rosh Chodesh? That doubt is called in the Talmud Yerushalmi, Chukim Lo Tovim. Yeah, it's a mitzvah. The Jews in Chutz La'aretz have to do 2 days. But it is not something good. Le'umat Or Elohi Sheba'eretz Chenda. The shining light of Eretz Yisrael, of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and the Zohar, which is the shining light which gets rid of should I not, maybe yes, maybe no, I'm scared of this, I'm scared of that, all of the Amalek, the Safeg, the doubts, that, how to deal with them? Come to Eretz Yisrael, get the shining light, where we know which day is Yom Tov. Afal pi shechavivin divrei sofrim varevim al Knesset Yisrael yoter mi'eina shel Torah. Even though, of course, if a person is in Chutz Laaretz and has to do 2 days of Yom Tov, yeah, because what the rabbis decreed, even if it's out of a doubt, is sweeter than the wine of Torah. Al ken, zeu reishit ha-ma'aseh me'oto ha-or Elohi ha-mitpalesh ha-yidei koach or ha-mazir shel oto ha-kadosh Hashem Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. What's the first thing that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai does when he leaves the cave? He wants to solve the doubts with that light, the Zohar, the shining light of Emunah, which gives you that self-confidence to get up and do, to be a Maccabee, to start that new project. B'tzeito l'or olam, when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai brings his light to the world, after he was separated himself from the menial world for 13 years, la'ir b'or havadai, to shine the definite light. Is it tamei? Is it tohar? Can kohanim walk here? Can they not? To solve the tircha of taking the long way, let's take the shortcut. Shel hatashlum hasfeikot. Right? Again, too many sfeikot, too many doubts is not good. Ve'im zenim shechet he'arat hasfeikot befoal. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is a pragmatist. He takes the wisdom that he learned in the cave for 13 years, and he pragmatically goes, and he fixes the land of Israel. Where you can walk, where not. Where you can build a road, where you can't build a road. Where's the cemetery, where's not a cemetery. And the first ones that he wants to help are the Kohanim, those who have the direct line to God through the Urim V'Tumim, through the Siyata Dishmaya. Right, there has to be a Kohen on every Sanhedrin, because God helps Kohanim even more to solve the doubts. En simcha katarata safek shelo yelem od torach lafuke hayduchte de safek tuma. El Hashem v'ya'er lanu. Here Rav Kukur finishes off with a beautiful chidush, a new way of explaining this pasuk that we all know from Halel, from Tehillim. El Hashem v'ya'er lanu. Our God, He is the Lord. He will light up our way. In other words, man has to clarify truth through debating. But Bezrat Hashem, when we have prophecy, when we get people like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, when we have Kohanim and the Urim V'Tumim, that shining light of Emunah will get rid of the shadows of doubt in a much more quick shortcut and convincing way. El Hashem Vayer Lanu, God, He will shine for us and will light up the doubts of the shadows. Havadai Shmo Kentilato. Here it is, and this is where Rav Tzvi Yehuda used to say this all the time. The truth is, until I prepared the shiur, I thought, okay, Rav Tzvi Yehuda, he's quoting the davening from the Yamim Noraim, from the Chol Ma'aminim, Shu'e El Mona. We all remember that line. According to the alphabet, Vav is Havadai Shmo Kentilato. God's name is Vadai, is definite, and so is His Tehillah. So is His glory. When you say things clearly, and you have clear emunah, we see here Rav Tzvi Yehuda is getting it from his father. Havadai Shmo Ken Tilato. And that's the light of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and that's what he is trying to solve the doubts in a direct way. We're not scared of questions. We don't run away from machloket. But if you can get there the easy way, with the help of God, with the help of prophecy, or the Urim V'Tumim, or Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, so, do it the easy way. Why look for problems?